Adam Pengilly, good morning to you.
Morning, Jared. Morning, boys. Hope you're enjoying the morning out there at the golf. Are you guys going to swing a club this afternoon or not?
I certainly am.
I won't be swinging.
Okay.
There you go. You got your answers.
One yes, two no's.
So as you can see, Michael and I, we're not great golfers.
No. Conditions don't look great out here either, Adam, to be honest.
How do you reckon Mido would go? Do you reckon Mido's a handy golfer or is he better at the
You know what I reckon? I reckon he's just steady. Like, just he won't pull out the driver. He'd just take the 3-iron, put it down the middle of the fairway, chip it onto the green, two putt.
No, I haven't got him like that.
I reckon. He plays golf like he is. He's straighty 180, Nürburger.
I've got him as the man that's going to turn up with all the good gear.
Here we go.
He's going to look good. He'll have the best clubs.
Shank.
And just be ordinary.
Straight in the water.
You're not far from the truth there, Lots.
No. Just tap it in. Yeah. And you know, I reckon. Just it'll tap, tap, tap in.
He'll look good, but no substance.
It'll be a four putt. You've written a story in the Sydney Morning Herald today about the latest between the Players Association and the NRL with the collective bargaining agreement. And don't tell me. There's ultimatums and threats of potential action. What can you tell us?
It's back on again, Jared. I think the players, the RLPA sent out an email to all the players in the NRL and the NRLW competition last night, just outlining where they're up to in the current negotiations. They expressed a lot of frustration with the pace of the talk, saying they'd virtually stalled in the last few weeks. And I think they're admitting they've made significant progress in the last month or so, but the last couple of weeks has been extremely frustrating, and they've virtually told all the players in the competition that they want to get some answers from the NRL and get agreement on certain issues by the end of the week, or in their words, they seem like they've got no choice but to take action in the following weeks in terms of industrial action. So what shape or form that takes, I don't think they're entirely confident of what that's going to look like yet, but at the moment, it seems like it's coming to another crescendo. And like we remember a few weeks ago, there was all the speculation reports that a deal was going to be done before the start of the season. I was quite circumspect saying that I don't think anything was going to be decided before the first ball was kicked in the round one game between the Eagles and Storm. And yet here we are heading into round four. Still seems like I haven't got a lot of agreement on a host of really important issues. So just watch this space. I think it's going to really kick off again in the next week or so.
I thought the deal was done. I thought during the troll games, weren't we saying exactly like you just mentioned, Adam, that before a ball is going to be kicked in proper season, that this deal's done? What's sent it so far backwards?
Yeah, Clucky, I think they've got to get finality on a whole lot of different issues. And it's quite complex. It's not an easy thing to agree on all these different things they're trying to go through. And yes, they might have made progress, and yes, they might have sort of reached a bit of consensus on a number of items, but there's still a lot of things they need to tick off, like the NRLW contracts. We're talking about a transfer window. Like, do you honestly think they're going to get agreement on a transfer window by the end of this week? Like, that's what they want.
But are we talking strike again, Adam? Like, from the players' perspective?
I don't know if it's going to go that far, Clarkie, but it's certainly potentially an option. They could take
What else can they do, mate?
Do they have any other choice?
How do you force someone's hand if you don't take the ultimate action?
Yeah, well, Loz, you know that before the start of the actual season itself, when they were talking about threats in the preseason, they're talking about, you know, delaying kickoff times to preseason matches and covering NRL logos. I'm sure all that stuff's going to be back on the table. And you know, what's the worst? I don't think they're going to strike games as such themselves, but I can certainly see a situation where they could delay kickoff times and not run out of the sheds on time, or even go out on the field and just stand there for a couple of minutes and not kick off. Like, that's some of the stuff they're going to be talking about in the background. Mate,
imagine doing that with...
The fans will go off their brain.
30,000 people
will go off their brain. The players are not winning there at all.
No. Of course they will, Clucky. Of course there's going to be... It could be a PR situation, obviously. But...
Mate.
This is a thing they've got to get sorted for the next 5 years. Like, it's something that they want to bed down. Whatever decisions they make now is going to be in place for the next 5 years. I know this has gone on for far too long, but I'm just reporting what the players are feeling. They're obviously frustrated at the moment by the state of the talks and how long it's been dragging on. So it's a very, very important week for the NRL and the RLPA in trying to get this CBA sorted.
Now, in racing, the magic man, Joao Moreira, heading to Sydney.
Yes, that's right, Jared. He's been quoted on a website called the Asian Racing Report saying that he's going to be heading back down to Sydney in the next week or two to ride throughout our autumn carnival for the next 4 or 5 weeks. Now, there's been speculation for a while now that Joe was going to be sort of undertaking somewhat of a farewell tour, I suppose. We know he's got this degenerative hip problem, which is causing him a lot of pain. He's been back in his native Brazil riding and riding some Group 1 winners over there. He plans to sort of ride in different parts of the world in potentially what is his final year of riding. And Sydney's going to be the place where he's probably going to be coming in the next week or two to ride in the Sydney Autumn Carnival. The details are still a little bit sketchy at this stage. I'd imagine he'd probably do a fair bit of riding for Chris Waller over the next sort of month or so. But won't it be great to add him to that Sydney jockeys room? We talk about the star power in that room at the moment. It is, in my opinion, in my humble opinion, the best jockeys room in the world. And to add Joe Moreira into the mix now as well, it's just going to be phenomenal to watch for the next 4 or 5 weeks.
Did I read you can add Tom Marquand into that? He's making a return?
He's coming back earlier than expected, Loz. We know he had that horrible fall in the English Millennium, I think it was, and he had suffered a really serious shoulder injury. He had to go back to the UK to try and rehabilitate that. But he's on a plane heading back to Australia, riding at the midweek meeting there tomorrow in Sydney, and then continuing his career on Saturday in the Group 1 meeting in the Tancred Stakes. So I think he said he was a bit of regret to watch him, Dubai Honour, win the Randford Stakes there on the weekend. He's obviously booked for that horse for William Haggis. Unfortunately, couldn't get back in time to take the ride with his shoulder, but he's back in the game this week and will be riding on Saturday at the big Group 1 meeting at Rose Hill.
I see that Gold Trip is in the noms for the Tancred, possibly off the quick backup on Saturday.
Yeah, which surprised me a little bit, Jared, considering that I thought he was probably just a little bit below par there on the weekend in the Tancred, but I think getting out to the mile and a half of the Tancred Stakes will probably suit him a little bit better. And obviously, Kieran Maher and David Eustace love a little bit of cut out of the ground with a bit of rain around this week. I'm not sure if they're going to get conditions to suit. There's still a fair bit of dry weather around Sydney. But how are we going to assess all these Joseph O'Brien runners on the weekend? He's bringing up 3 or 4 nominated for the Tancred Stakes there on the weekend. William Haggis has got a runner as well. So we've seen what Dubai Honour did to some of our weight-for-age horses in the Randford on the weekend. And who's to say it won't be another overseas winner of the Tancred this week?
What's the plans for Uncommon James?
Yeah, heading to the Quokka, Loz. This caught me by surprise a little bit. He obviously came to Sydney for the Galaxy after winning the Oakley Plate down there in Melbourne. I think Stephen O'Day and Matty Hoisted have decided, well, we're going to take him across to the West, take on this new race called the Quokka, which is, I think, worth $4 million, and they'll probably get a pretty handy field over there for that race. So it's sort of a slots race modelled on the Everest and the Pegasus over there in the US, which first started off this concept many, many years ago. So he's emerging as one of the best sprinters in the country. I just don't think he's ready to take on the real A-graders in the TJ Smith Stakes yet. So he'll head west and try and pick up the lion's share of prize money in that Quokka over there in Western Australia.
Have a good day, mate. Thank you.
Enjoy the golf, Jared.